Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's April 10th regular Othello City Council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this meeting tonight and upon this city. And now if you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Tonight we have the Honorable Roger Reed with us. Kelly is, I don't know what happened to Kelly, but Roger is filling in for him tonight. And he'll be our legal counsel. Moving to item 1.4 on our agenda is a roll call, and I see that all members of the council are present. So we'll move to item 1.5, citizen input. And tonight we have the privilege of having Catalina Portillo with us. And Catalina, would you please come to the microphone, and you'll have up to 5 minutes to address the council.
Hello, my name is Catalina Portillo, and my address is 91 East Main Street here in Othello. The reason I'm here today is because I just been told that we're gonna be getting charged for parking on First Avenue for my businesses. I have four businesses into one. It's a big building, and there's four businesses. And I just found that out because two or 3 weeks ago, I have a vacant office, and a guy from Tri-Cities came wanting to open a shop here in Othello. And so when he came to ask for the permits and everything, they told him that he needed to pay $240 for parking, which I thought that, you know, because we never been paying parking or anything. I've been in business for 14 years now, and I never had that issue before. We had that issue because that same place, it's been open since September, you know, it's been vacant. So the guy wanted to open like a sandwich shop. I think the guy, I'm not sure what his name is, but, and I think you guys heard this case before because it came to your guys' attention. The parking, that there wasn't enough parking on the street, so the city was gonna rent him the parking across the street. But that was because it was gonna be a food business. But I don't know why now we're getting, you know, we're gonna be charged $240 a year for the parking, which I don't understand why it's that. So I'm here to ask you guys to, you know, to review that and see if there's something that we could do because, and basically to ask you guys to help us, you know, stay in business. Because, like I said, what I've been told is that we're gonna be paying $240 for each building or for each business. So which is four businesses that we're gonna be paying $240 each a year. And I don't know if there's anything that we can do because I never had that issue before and now we're having this issue and I don't see why.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I do remember we discussed this and I think, Travis, do you have some, are you prepared to make a response to Catalina tonight? Please.
So the reason why this is becoming an issue is the Othello Municipal Code site plan standard basically says that if you have a non-conforming use, so in other words, if you don't meet the standards for parking, landscaping, building design, any of the issues associated with site standards, in 1996, they adopted a standard which said you have 20 years to bring your building into compliance, after which time you will no longer be considered non-conforming and subject to the code. And that date was January 1st, 1996, and as of January 1st, 2016, What that says is all of these old buildings, anytime that you get a new use or a new tenant, you have to bring the property up to code. And so, given that the building in this case covers 100% of the lot and there is no opportunity for on-site landscaping, stormwater, or parking, I was looking for another method to find her some relief in the code. And the fact that she's across the street from a city parking lot means she's one of the few businesses in town that actually has a second option other than tearing down a portion of her building to put in parking. So we're kind of scrambling looking for options because the code really doesn't give us much ideas on how to fix this.
Council?
Where is this place?
We're talking behind the library, right?
Yeah, across the street.
What did we figure out that in our last meeting? There was a charge. Were we going to charge a certain amount of money for?
That's the $240.
$240.
I don't remember.
For a year, $240.
Per unit?
No.
I don't remember.
Per business is what he said.
Per business?
Yes, per business.
To utilize the city parking.
So that's $960 for all four units. It's a lot of money.
All of a sudden. For 20 years.
Put meter.
So Travis, where does the grandfather clause come in as far as parking goes?
It's any change of use in an existing building that existed prior to 1996. So in this case, the building is older than 1996, and she's trying to move a new tenant in. So theoretically, I'm trying to compartmentalize it by saying, okay, only new businesses would be subject to that. And then during the conversation and the instruction that I had got from the council during our first conversation, and that was, you know, it really is fair if we talk to all four of the tenants. The satellite shop down around the corner, there's also the used, you know, home goods store next door. They all use this parking lot, and it incurs some costs because there's a lot of garbage, a lot of parking, snow removal, that kind of stuff was part of the discussion at the time.
I remember that. How did we come to the four businesses times 240 figure?
At the time, we were just talking about $20 a month. That way, if they come in July, you know, they would only pay for the remainder of the year. And then the next year, when they get their building or their business license the next year, then they can pay for the entire year at that time. But the per month cost was assumed that new businesses coming in would trigger this standard, and then they would just pay for the portion of the year that they entered.
I think the problem here is that we figured the 240 on the building itself, not per unit. But
you mean on the parking lot? Because what we're saying is that these businesses can rent the city's parking. You have no other parking for your businesses.
No, we don't.
Other than on the street.
Yeah.
Or in the city-owned parking lot. Now, we could put meters in front of your businesses so that when your customers come, they have to pay a meter charge. Because the only parking you're providing to your customers is the parking on the street.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in Spokane. They do it other places. So I can't remember how we came to the value of $20.
I don't remember four units, so we gave a price for, we didn't discuss that.
Well, are all the four units owned by the same property owner?
Yeah, that's yeah. It's me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's why she says 960.
Yes. So are you leasing
those? The building.
You own the building?
I own the building, and I have a business in one of those four shops. One of them is mine. Two other ones are rented, and one of them is available for rent. And that's how all this thing came up. Because before, I never had a problem. The problem started when a guy came in that wanted to get the place that it's available for a sandwich shop. He wanted to put in because there's no parking, and he was told that he needs one parking space per every three customers for a food place. So that's why he wanted to open the business. So we came and we spoke to Travis, and he said that he was gonna bring it up to you guys to see what we, what you guys could do to see if he was gonna be able to rent out the parking across the street in order for him to open the sandwich shop. But this guy that wanted to rent the building this time, he's just doing a display. He has a furniture store in Tri-Cities, and he wanted to come he wanted to bring his business here in town, and he got upset, and we lost a tenant because he got upset. He's like, why do I have to pay for parking, you know, when my customers are just gonna come and go? It's like our customers, they come, they park 5 minutes and they leave, you know. It's not like they're gonna be there all day. So and that's how I came and talked to him. That's when to Travis, that's when he told me, oh, it's gonna be $240 per business. So that's why, you know, like, again, I'm here to see what we can do, because to me it's you know, we never had that problem before, and it's to me it's a big issue.
So what would be fair is from your standpoint?
I don't know. That's
what do you want to see happen, Catalina?
Wasn't there an option? Wasn't there something to the north of the building?
That property there, yeah.
That property to the north of the building, if I recall.
Across the alley.
Because you showed us a map back.
There is an empty site north of the satellite store, and it's owned by the gentleman who owns the satellite store. The problem, of course, is to start parking there under our current code, they would have to develop it, pave it, stormwater, landscaping. They're in the exact same situation that she's in, only they have the space to install parking.
So is the library and the secondhand store there going to be paying parking?
Sorry?
The library and the secondhand store. Yeah. Are they going to be paying the same $240 a month?
That was the idea, is that the idea was that I would talk to the secondhand store and they would also contribute. The library is currently renting from the city of Othello, so it's actually considered on-site parking because we own both lots. So it would be considered on-site parking.
So basically we're looking, if all four of those businesses plus the other two considered, it's what's that, about $1,300 a year rent on that parking?
Yep.
Our maintenance cost has got to be more than $1,300 a year.
You'd have to ask Terry that.
It's not paved, is it?
Yes, it is.
So I don't know how you could put more than $1,300 a year there.
You got snow removal in there.
Snow removal and
everything in there.
Painting.
It should be a year like this, but snow removal on a normal year, probably once or twice a year.
You still got to insure it also.
Liability, that's an issue.
Okay, so if we don't rent it out, it's still going to cost us the same.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
So I think, Catalina, the issue is that there was an agreement when you bought that property that was already in place. And the expiration of that agreement is why you're here.
I need to know about that agreement.
Mm-hmm.
What agreement are you talking about?
The 1996 agreement that the city had with the property owner. And so upon the expiration of that, that's what is forcing this issue. So it isn't like you're being picked on as much as that was an issue that was dealt with over 20 years ago with the property owner, and now that agreement has expired and you now own the property, you're forced to deal with it. So I understand that the, you know, from 0 to 960 is an issue.
Yes.
So what is it that
I think that $240 a year for parking availability for a business to guarantee that you could have a sandwich shop or whatever, $240 a year cost for a business to have guaranteed parking is not outrageous.
No,
that's
but
not an
not
outrageous
be a sandwich
cost.
Shop no more.
Huh?
He decided not to go with the sandwich shop. So that the stores that we have right now, it's just like one of them, It's just, we sell stuff. It's like store. He decided not to rent it. I don't know why, but he decided not to go with a sandwich shop. But everything started because of the parking lot, because of that tenant that wanted to place a sandwich shop. But he's not there. It's that building, it's available for rent. So he's not even, he didn't even get the building or the business. So basically right now we only have, it's us and two other tenants in that building.
And where do your people park now?
On the streets.
In the street?
Mm-hmm.
All of your customers park in the street?
Yeah. And like I said, they're there, you know, 5 minutes or you know, they just come and go and on the street or yeah, on the parking lot across, you know, the city parking lot. Like okay. I said, all those businesses, that's, you know, that's what they use, so.
What do you want to do, Council? You want to think about it some more? You want to make a decision tonight, or what do you
want
to do?
Let's think about it, because we want to make sure that that place stays open. I mean, they've been there for a long time. We don't want that area to go down. We'll make it up in Texas. So I'd like that area there that's, you know, the oldest part of town where people are looking to, you know, go to newer areas, kind of find interest, you know, in setting up in there. That's my opinion, so I think we sit down and talk about it.
There's got to be some sort of financial restitution for the city for the use of the parking lot, though.
Well, like Mark said, we're paying for that whether they're or not.
But we're also paying for their convenience.
That's why I said, let's talk about it. I'm not saying get it for free. I think if it was 240, we talked about 240 the last time. I thought it was the whole building. So you hit it with 960, that's a lot, all of a sudden. My opinion.
Is it from the corner, north?
Yes.
Yes.
To the alley.
The building is empty right now, on the right across from the library.
Yeah, it's not empty. There's three businesses in there.
Okay.
But there's four.
It goes north.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. She's in a hard spot because you bring. Mm-hmm. She's got it. You have to have parking spot. You know, parking for your people. So here comes a business, and you tell them, you know what? You have to pay $240 extra to park.
Oh, what? We didn't initiate this. This was initiated based on an ordinance back in 1996.
Exactly, but not the price.
No, it wasn't. Okay, so that's what we can negotiate. We can sit as a council and discuss the financial restitution to the city for the use of the parking lot. Now, you're going to pay something. I'm not going to get away from that. I'm not going to vote that they get it for free. You're going to pay something.
Yeah, because, well, I'm here because of my businesses, but I have a list of some other stores that they have to say exactly the same problem that I have. So what I'm asking is to be fair, you know, not just with me, but with, if this is going to affect me, it has to affect the other business too.
But the reason it initiated with you is because you're bringing in a new client.
Yes.
And that's what triggered it with you. And until, because of the way the ordinance was written, until somebody else, a new owner or a new tenant comes into those other buildings, we really can't, our hands are tied. So as soon as something triggers that, then it will be.
And I didn't know, you know, the agreement that you guys are talking about, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're aware of that. So I want to ask Roger, our legal counsel, do you have any wisdom for us?
Well, I think everybody understands that when she buys the land, she takes the responsibility for all the covenants that are attached to that land. Mm-hmm. So from a legal perspective, you know, she's obligated, but what you folks want to do with it is up to you. But from a legal perspective, she's got the obligation.
Okay, so I think what I hear, Catalina, is we are going to have to enforce our agreement, but at what price? And I think that you can be encouraged tonight that we're going to talk about that. Maybe what we'll do is we'll invite you back to a council meeting when we're going to make a public decision on that issue. And then I think what we need to do, you know, we need to investigate. We need to go down there ourselves. We need to take a look at the what we're talking about. And then we'll come back and give you a decision. So tonight, no decision, but it's very good, interesting, this scenario, because I, you know, you're the face of decisions that we make. And you weren't here when we made the decision to look at this and charge. And so I want you to know that we're not picking on you. It was something that we were handed by a council 20-some years ago. And so I think that from your standpoint, you can be encouraged that the council is going to discuss, and probably the relief we'll give you is something that is, like you said, fair. Okay? And tonight I can't say we can come up with something fair without further discussion. Okay. Does that sound fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Catalina.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other citizen input tonight? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to item two, the approval of our agenda tonight. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second. We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item three is our consent agenda. I'd like to entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda for tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving to item four on the agenda is our current business. And 4.1, bond refinance update. And Spencer has some actual figures for us.
Yes, thank you very much. I just wanted to take a minute tonight and give you a brief update on our Main Street bond refinance project that we've been working on for the last little while here. And this is the $3.195, almost $3.2 million bond that goes out to 2035. A few weeks ago, we were presenting some estimates to council. We were presenting an estimate where we would shorten up the life of the bond by 4 years, we'd pay a little extra each year, but then we'd have a lower interest rate. So all those things factored together, we'd save about $411,000 at the end when everything is said and done. We sent the bid out to a number of different banks, and we've got some proposals back. The bank that ultimately we're going with is Chase Bank, and the rate that we got from them is 2.41 as opposed to the 2.5 that we estimated. With that new rate, we don't save $411,000 like we thought we would. We will be saving somewhere closer to $538,000. And again, that's at the end of the loan. So we'll see that starting 2032, 2033, 2034, and 2035. During that's when we'll see that savings.
Great.
That's all we have. Yeah.
Thank you, Spencer.
Great. So you know.
Anybody have any questions? That's really good work. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We'll move to item 4.2, formal approval of the Rotary Projects in Pioneer Park. Wade?
Yeah, Mayor and Council asked at the workshop. The Rotary came and presented a proposal for redoing Pioneer Park, putting some signage up and some other things. And so that was informative there. It turns out council needs to approve somebody actually doing stuff in our park. So we asked for approval for the Rotary to proceed forward with theirs. I also presented some information on redoing the airplane. And so whenever those people send me a contract, I will present that to you for that. Rotary confirmed that they had at least $15,000 to contribute to that $32,000 or so for that, which is good news. And so when I get that contract from them and get some stuff worked out with the Air Force, they want some more information, and they actually are the final approving authority for us to actually do it, even though you guys will say okay. It's their airplane, but it's along to us. So anyway, so tonight, what we're asking for is the approval for the Rotary to do their part of that, except for the, you know, the airplane fees, which we'll look at later.
Make a motion to approve the Rotary proposal for the work in Pioneer Park.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Wade. The next item on our agenda is item 4.3, contract for youth baseball and softball league umpires, and Amy is going to present to us an idea to hire umpires, right?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
So we discussed during the planning for this league hiring youth umpires, which has been the standard in the past. There aren't a lot of adults that are eager to get out there and ump their own children's games, and it's already sort of a sticky situation when during a close call, parents behind the plate, it gets a little bit more heated. So it's been traditionally run by youth umpires, either seasoned players who are no longer playing or kids that have experience. I have four umpires that have been certified on the Babe Ruth Cal Ripken website for either baseball or softball, so they're certified umpires now. And what I am looking for approval tonight on is a contract that was drawn up by Kelly to enter into an agreement with these umpires so that we can pay them as a vendor as opposed to an employee as the city. That is the contract that's attached to your documents tonight. They'll be paid $30 a game. The contract basically lines out attendance, their responsibility, their need to be certified umpires, when they're going to get paid, all of those sorts of details like that. And the total cost estimated right now at 69 games, total at $30 a game, is $2,070. And we budgeted in the proposal for the cost of the Little League $3,000 in umpire cost. So we're still within the approved budget limit for the league itself. So I guess really all I'm looking for is approval of the contract so that I can enter into an agreement with the umpires.
Also, I'll make a motion.
Roger.
Yeah, if I can make one suggestion, it was Kelly's suggestion on paragraph 15, the second page. If you wish to add it, be a new sentence which would say the prevailing party in any litigation would be entitled to their reasonable attorney fees. Now, sometimes that seems like an undue hammer, and I know these umps are getting paid like 30 bucks a game, but I think it should be in there. You already noticed that Kelly provided for indemnification, meaning that these umps are basically taking on the responsibility for their own injuries or whatever. They're not employees, they're independent contractors. So, you know, somebody gets hurt out there while umpiring, it's not an LNI claim. It's going to be something that's their own responsibility, and that's a provision in there. There was thought, and I've talked over with Wade, of having a provision where they have to carry insurance with the city named as a co-insured. You're probably familiar with that kind of a deal. But given the fact that these umpires only getting 30 bucks per game, I know Wade and I feel it's probably a little bit too onerous and too burdensome. I don't think they should do that. As one who played a lot of ball myself, I just think that's over the top. So if you would like, you can add that sentence to paragraph 15 with prevailing party, or you can just leave it alone.
I think, Kelly, I think when you were driving over, they must have already done that.
Yes. So. I didn't want to interrupt you, added that up. But we did add that in. We got that.
He snuck it in on me.
Yes,
all right,
he did.
Good. Well, anyway, that's
very good.
That's our notion.
Thank you. You want to go ahead and restate your motion, John?
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to accept the contract with the City of Othello for umpires.
Before you vote, could I say one more thing? And Debbie's catching me here on this. It is also a city ordinance that they would have to provide a business license for themselves because they're performing work in the city as a contractor. So if you would consider making a motion to accept the contract and remove the expectation that they would...
And waive the business license portion of it?
Thank you.
Okay. I move to use the contract to enter into agreement with the umpires for the league this year and waive the business license requirements.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Amy.
And three of them are on the field right now. So in case you guys didn't remember or see on Facebook, tonight was the first night of the league. Majors started playing, and they have a 5 o'clock and a 7 o'clock game. So if you need something to do during the week, you can come and watch.
We can go down and watch the game in the wind, right?
Yes, you can.
Thank you, Amy. So item 4.4, I want to bring recognition and honor to Travis Goddard. Travis, will you come to the podium, please? This is Travis's final meeting of the City Council. And before I say my things, I think I'm going to let Travis, if you have any words you want to give the council as your parting shots to us.
I do. I have to say that I was very nervous about taking this position as a liberal Democrat coming to this side of the state. I was very intimidated. But I think after our time together, I think the entire country would be well served if we were in Washington, D.C., not Washington State, because it seems like working together with you on a day-in, day-out, weekly basis, I think it just goes to show that, you know, both sides of the aisle can work together, and it's probably more of a circle than it is a continuum of right to left. It's more of a circle, because we were a lot closer to each other's point of view when you actually sit down and talk about the things that we have to deal with. You know, we did a lot of great things together. We got the comprehensive plan, so the next planner to come along will have a great document to bring them up to speed and have a great understanding of Othello's vision, its pride in itself, and its vision for the future with that document. The water supply plan, the water sewer, or the water system plan, you know, it lays out a clear path for Othello and the opportunities that are before us. But if I can set aside my professional role for my personal opinion at this point, because I've always tried to keep my personal opinions out of the advice that I give you and the advice that I give the customers and the citizens of the city. I firmly believe that Othello has a lot of opportunities before it. The ideas of irrigation utilities and stormwater utilities so that we can reduce the risk and create more opportunities for property owners. I think that's absolutely a great path for the city to be following. All of the water system consolidation studies that we had done, I think it creates a great opportunity for the city to be able to spread its wing and extend its water systems and in effect its influence. And I think at some point the city is going to have to seriously think about the idea that annexing some large areas around Othello is a good move for the city. When you consider the small water systems in the area, in our urban growth area, or in our growth area, the population for Othello will be about 14,000 people. And in a county of 19,000, it really would give you the influence that the city of Othello deserves, because the leadership here is so solid and so great. I think the county as a whole would be better off if Othello were able to step up and take that role on. On the fear side of what I see is I worry about a couple things, and they're not big worries, but I just worry about potential roadblocks or obstacles for the city going forward. The school district, there's a meeting tomorrow night about facilities, and Dr. Hurst, the new superintendent has some great ideas, some great philosophies, but they're looking at facility decisions that can be, you know, from $50 to $100 million, and for a community and a county as small as we are, those are significant infrastructure investments. At the same time, you have the ports in the county looking at a $64 or $60 million, $70 million, whatever number you want to look at, wastewater treatment plant that is very much very similar to what the city is considering. And so between the school district and the port, you have these outside organizations that, you know, could potentially be spending, you know, $160 million on a tax base that you currently are the representatives for, and you may or may not be able to influence those decisions. And so it kind of scares me, the idea that the city of Othello would have to absorb those taxes without necessarily having the opportunity to direct or dictate some of those decisions. The location of the school site that they acquired on Lee Street versus the port property south of the highway. In an ideal world, if I ruled the world, I would have them swap property straight up, because when the city gets its wastewater treatment plant and its water and its tower, the property next to Lee Road is going to be valuable industrial property, and the property south of the highway will not necessarily be as valuable for the port where it is. And it seems like a better location for the school. But of course, I don't rule the world, and as much as I would like to, I can't make them swap. But ideally, I think it would be a great outcome for the city, because it ensures that when we do our wastewater treatment plant and we have our water system expansion and infrastructure in place, the potential for the industrial opportunities here in Othello is going to take off. And with the groundwork that we've laid together, I think that would be the greatest opportunity, and I will watch where I am. I will watch with great pride as the city progresses, because I see that there's going to be some great things going on here in Othello. And I appreciate the way you've welcomed me with open arms and accepted my sometimes wild and crazy ideas, and accepted some of the ideas I have had, maybe not with open arms, but willing to talk the ideas through with me and see my point of view, and that's been extremely satisfying, and I appreciate my time here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Travis, and I think I'm going to go around. Everybody will get an opportunity here to say something to Travis and about what he's meant to you since he came on board. Corey?
Yeah, I know I spent a lot of time in your office. Always welcomed me in and explained everything out. A lot of times when I haven't understood things, you've taken the time to explain them to me, and I really appreciate it.
Larry?
Travis, you've been a very, very bright star for us here in Othello City. When you came, we didn't have anything. We didn't have nothing. We were zero. And you have brought us out, and the comprehensive plan, and anytime your door's open, I've come in a lot of times and talked to you, and I hate to see you go, but hey, things happen, and I just want you to know that I feel you've done a great job for the city.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry. John?
Travis, I just got to say thank you on behalf of the city of Othello for what you've done for the city of Othello. It's truly appreciated. Thank you.
Gina?
I just would like to say that I was on the committee that hired you, and I'm sad to see you go. And both my husband and I have really appreciated the breath of fresh air that you have brought and the direction you have been able to give us while you were here.
Angel?
Yep. Travis, I just want to thank you as well, you know, on behalf of the city, and appreciate what you've done. You know, we sat together, you know, for the through the school district for, you know, going forward on building that high school, and you jumped right on it. I mean, non-paid position,
putting a lot of time into it. You know, we sat through several meetings, and you've been good to work with. You're very understanding, and whatever, like Corey said, you know, there's in areas that we don't understand, you've educated us. So you've been a plus to Othello, and thank you very much for the time that you've been.
Thank you, Angel. Eugene?
Travis, thank you. I concur with everybody here. You've done a great job. You've helped Maddie and I out with a couple of things that we've investigated in, and appreciate all you've done. And you want the town you're going to, getting a good guy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd just like to say, you know, thank you for all your hard work, and we really appreciate it. And just kind of like what everybody else said, you know, I just appreciate when go in and talk to you. You explain it, show us right where to find it in the books, where whatever, and just help everybody out. And I just appreciate that.
Thank you, Mark. Staff, do you guys want to say anything, or are you going to save it for Thursday?
Well, I'll just remind the council that a couple of you guys mentioned hard work, but what you don't see is what I see is Travis burning the midnight oil, especially when we were trying to get the comp plan done, all the other stuff that goes with it, the different areas that we looked at, and help put us on the right path, as you guys know. But it took a lot of sweat and hard work on his part, a lot of conversations, and the administrator, and not knowing a lot or anything about comprehensive plans or anything else. What I did know when I first got here is that we need a comprehensive plan. I figured that right away. And seeing what we had from our previous planner, I guess you'd call him that, was nothing but junk. And so when we hired Travis, we didn't know what we were going to get exactly. We thought we were going to get a pretty good guy, you know, those of us on the committee. But what we didn't know was the capability that Travis brought to us that Othello really needed. The right time, right place, right person. So, yeah, Travis, I told you before how much we appreciate that and how much we hate to see you go. Because my job is going to get real hard at about this time on Friday night when he leaves. So we are, just for the council, you know, Paul has already gone out for advertisement for the replacement. So that's out there on the different areas. And we'll be getting a couple of weeks. He'll close it out, and we'll get some candidates to replace Travis.
Terry? Amy?
Thank you.
Spencer?
You know, we're really sad to see you go, but we're really happy for you as a good one for you and your family and all those things. You're proactive, you're a great teammate, some of the work, but it's kind of funny how you and I come from a different perspective to that little crowd here in the city. I just sit in my own seat and I see things from that view and you see things from a different view. It's just, it's a new process to be able to see that different points of view, you know, like you were saying, come together and make this solution that works for everybody. And, yeah, we're going to see your difference.
Thank you. Debbie?
Well, I wish you well. Thank you for your consultation. Explaining things to me and our staff. And it took a lot of patience and we were able to just lay it out and explain it. And we appreciate all of your hard work.
Thank you.
And wish you well. And it'll be nice. And thanks for backing us up. And being a team player.
You're welcome. Travis, thank you. I still remember talking to you on the phone, trying to convince you to move to Othello, and I don't know, a conversation with something around the move to Othello, it'll change your life. And it did, and it changed our lives, is what it did. We didn't even know what a comp plan was or what really the ultimate purpose was. We honestly, our perspective about a comp plan was more or less that it was something that the state required us to do from time to time, but we really didn't care. But when you came and you tackled the project, I mean, the first thing I knew when something was different was when, I think it was you went to Department of Commerce and you got $25,000 to help do a comprehensive plan update. Well, I do. Well, that's a novel idea, right? Get money from the state to help us do what we're supposed to do. And then I remember the first hearing examiner hearing and we were having, and it was coming up, and I had been to a couple of previous City of Othello hearings, examiner hearings, and those things were a disaster from the city standpoint. We were unprepared. We didn't really understand all the issues. And so I asked you, well, how many hearings examiners hearings have you done? And you said, oh, I don't know, 140, 150. And so I knew we were in a different realm, and I knew that we were being well represented. And to the point that you, in your time here, in just a little over 2 years, secured 13 separate grants for the City of Othello, totaling over $470,000. I also got word today that the House budget has put $500,000 for our water project for the next well. The Senate has $1 million in it. And so I would say that we're going to get somewhere in between those two figures, if not the higher figure. And that would put your help and effort here to over $1 million in a little over 2 years. And so, to me, you know, we're all, you know, when you're in politics, it's a people business, but it's also a scorekeeping business. And if you're keeping score, Travis is hitting a home run. And he's hit a home run for this city. He helped educate all of us about the processes of what a comp plan can do and how it's the path to more money with the state, because you have to have some kind of a plan. And so what we've done is he's helped us forge a story, a vision, and a process that we can use to access even more money. And so with that, I'd like to present to you a community service award. And this is what it says, presented to Travis Goddard. Thank you for developing the future for the City of Othello.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And this is a little City of Othello lapel pin. I would give you a cup, but you were too busy giving them away to all the state agencies so that they would give us money. And obviously, it's worked. So, Travis, thank you. So then we'll move to item 5, unfinished business. Is there any? Yes.
I've got two things. First, at the workshop last week, we discussed a letter to the county commissioners reference redistricting the judge positions here in Adams County that would directly affect, negatively affect Othello. And so I put that letter together, and I'm going to pass it around. For those of you who did not, were not here, let's say I think you weren't here, and somebody, Corey wasn't here. Sean can probably explain it better than I can, but the commissioners appeared not to take the input that Sean and our police chief had given them. So the council requested that I put together a letter that basically reflects Sean's letter that he sent to him as well, some of the same verbiage and stuff. But it's got, if the page 2 has a signature block for you guys if you want to read and sign, but that's what it's about. Got questions, I want to wait till after the council and talk to me personally, see what's in there, then wait, but it's coming around now. The other piece of unfinished business, Councilman Snyder has asked me to keep you guys updated on the engineer search. We have finally finished off the job description and gone out for advertisement. When Friday went through a couple of papers, and today we're trying to negotiate the price of the advertisement. We're going to advertise in Eastern Washington and Spokane, Spokesman View, and Trashman's Herald, and up in Moses Lake, and see what we get. If we need to broadcast a wider search, we'll go to the east side of the mountains. But, so we're going to advertise for the next, I think, 3 weeks, if I remember correctly, and then we'll get the best capable folks and bring them in and have an interview panel and hire an engineer. And that's where we are with that. Any questions on that at all? Okay. That's all I have for the business.
And then just the last reminder, the 15th is the deadline for your PDC filings. Everybody's
17th.
It was on Monday. Okay.
What's on
that? Public PDC. Commission filing.
Already did it.
Okay. And then item 6, is there any new business to come before the council tonight? Okay, hearing none, I'll close tonight's meeting at 7:23 p.m. Thank you.